Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, all flight controllers, I'm going around the horn. Make your go-no-goes based on the data you had prior to LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're yelling, flying.
Okay, retro.
Go.
Fido.
Go.
Guide.
Go.
Control.
Go.
Telcom.
Go.
Jinsei.
Go.
Econ.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Capcom, we're go to continue PDI.
I'm going to play a little something called Saturday Night. I think you'll like it. And then I'll get into a little monotone here. This is John Almada here on Soul Stream. And even though it's Monday night, Saturday night, we tried to do the show. And it did not work well. It turned out we had a little known trap that sets you up if you try to do a pre-recorded show broadcast. And then you cancel it and try to do a live broadcast. Turns out, Blog Talk Radio does not let that happen. Bad juju's happened to me when I was here in Studio C, trying to make it all work, and the man became panicked, and I had to cancel. But we rescheduled for tonight. We're going to have ghost stories tonight. It's going to be John and Brenda only. We may take some callers if I look at the numbers and seem to feel that they might be good, but we're going to do some good ghost stories tonight, and hopefully get some of you maybe to talk a little bit about your ghost stories. And a little later, we'll get I'll bring up the the quantum system. So if you want to shoot a quick story to us through quantum, go to soulstreamradio.com, and we will be glad to read off your story. Or if you want to call us, give us a call at, what is it going to be? Guest call-in is 213-943-3623. Brenda, I'm going to bring you on. Oh, I did not hit the little microphone, the magic microphone. Brenda is here.
Yes, hello there.
Ensconced in her new home.
Yes.
Full of cool stuff and even probably a few ghosts.
Way too much cool stuff for this house. I'm having to pare down a lot.
Oh, it's a little bit smaller, eh?
Yes, it is. It is, but that's good. I mean, it's big enough for me and my cat.
You know, it's funny. I found out after I, you know, because I worked in the aerospace business for 32 years, and I did IT for 40 plus years, because that kind of gives you some idea of my age. But I found out that you don't need, after the past year, I've been, as of June 9th, I had left Aerojet roughly 1 year and a number of weeks ago, two and a half weeks ago in 2017. And it was really weird, because not working was so alien to me. And now I sleep in till 9, sometimes 10 in the morning. And, you know, and I found out I don't drive nearly as much. I mean, I'm lucky if I drive 3 or 4 times a month, and it's really kind of spooky.
Yeah.
And with this back injury I've had, I'm even more reduced because of the problems I'm having walking, but hopefully they'll be able to cut into the back and do some things that I don't want to know about. I just want them to do it, and I'll wake up and go, ooh, that hurts. But it's funny how little you really need to live. You know, you can get by on a lot less than you think. And, you know, I've been slowly downsizing my stuff and getting it much more manageable. And it's actually freeing in a way. So I think you'll find that out with your stuff that you're paring down and all of that.
Yeah, or just get really creative with storing things.
Yeah, that too. You know, sticking it in a giant pile someplace, and you know, but you know, I mean, George Carlin had it right. You know, a house is a big pile of stuff with a lid on it. You know.
Exactly, it is. Yeah, yeah.
And you know,
and it's really interesting how.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, you
it's
first.
It's really interesting how, you know, moving kind of helps you to you know, clear out and start fresh. So, which is a good thing.
And which means you get
found
more
a lot
room
of
for more stuff. I'm doing the same thing,
yeah.
You know. It's funny. When we got Studio C put in, it was actually our game room, which was just full of stuff. Now, this room had been built back 25 or 30 years ago, and we only used it for a short time, and then it just became a place to store stuff. And anyway, I've got it completely redone, and it's still in the process of shedding stuff. There's a big pile of, if I look over my left shoulder, I go, oh, dear God, how do I get rid of that with this back? But we're going to get it done. But I'm, you know, it's really nice is my, I've got my studio all dialed in and everything is just looking great. And, I'm not having to walk all the way down to that lower studio, which you had been in a couple of times. And, it's just, this is a much better setup and it's a lot quieter because I've got these big walls next to me that are made of, concrete filled, stone, you know, they're those, hollow, brick type things, and you can fill them up with mortar and so none of the outdoor sounds get in here, so it's really nice. But getting it all dialed in and all the electronics just so has been a process. It's going to take me the rest of the summer to get it really where I want it to be, but you know what, this house is haunted, by the way. You've been here.
Yes.
You've spilt the spirits here.
Yes.
And you know, tonight's show is all about ghosts, you know. And I think I'd like to start with, you know, just the whole concept of a ghost, because a lot of people sit there and talk about the paranormal and spirits and that kind of thing, and no one really talks about what is a ghost, you know. And
right.
I have my own, you know, I was a scientist, you know, I did computer science for 40 plus years. And, you know, then I was, you know, also a psychic and medium all those years, even more because I grew up in a family of them. And I kind of have come to a middle point and a middle view of this because I can look at both sides, you know, from the scientific view and from the spiritual side. And I've come to believe that, you know, ghosts / spirits are life forms. They're actually living beings. And just because they don't have a biological life form doesn't mean that an electronic life form, you know, or electrically based life form like a spirit, you know, isn't alive. And I think that's exactly, you know, the definition that I like to use, because when you make that distinction, they become more real. You know, they're not just some vaporous entity that you look at and go, ooh, Casper the ghost, oh my God. You know, you're dealing with a real living being that has just a unique body that we don't normally see, you know, but very much exists and interacts with us on occasion. So, you know, but you and I have had multiple experiences with spirits, and we've seen so much. You know, I mean, I'm going to let you start. You know, let's just get you going. Let's talk about
you.
Your...
always let me start.
Well, it's been a while, so you know, I figured it was your turn to start. You know, I've been kind of monopolizing the show all the, you know, these last n number of months, but. For a month,
but it's
even
your
a
show.
It's your show too. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make more effort to you make it our show. It's our show. You're co-host, so I will put John and Brenda on the website. So yes, but you know, when did you start seeing spirits, and how, and some of the things that have happened to you? Maybe we'll lead off with that, and then I'll trade off with stories, and we'll just keep doing going back and forth.
Well, I think I'm going to bring up, it's a house you've actually been in. It was a house that I spent a lot of time in as a kid. And it's that one in Fair Oaks that I had you go to.
Oh, yeah.
And there,
yes,
there's a lot of activity in that house. And some of it is very dark And I think that was probably where I had my first experiences, was in that house. And everybody who's actually gone into that house, even people that aren't really believers, feel something when they walk in there, and they know that there's something else within that house. And I remember I was probably about 6 or 7 years old, and there's a very tall, kind of dark, shadowy male figure that I saw in that house. And that was my first experience with actually seeing another being or a spirit energy like that, was at a very young age. And I remember I never liked to be alone in any of the rooms of that house. I always had to have my friend with me or be with her mother, because it bothered me to be by myself in any of the mm-hmm. rooms in that house. I don't know if you remember much from...
I remember a lot from that, because that when we did that investigation, there was... I was sitting with one girl, I think it was a younger girl, and we were sitting in that living room, and all of a sudden I looked and a spirit went right by me. I mean, I saw it, you know, in full motion. It wasn't so much a solid entity, but I caught the, it was partially manifested, and it went right by me from my right to left at a high speed, and it left a chill in the air right in front of me. The girl next to me said she felt it just as I yelled, you know, kind of let out a yell and said, "I just saw a ghost. I just saw a spirit." And I think you guys came running in. And that place had a lot of dark stuff going on, and especially in that one boy's room, which had a lot of really bad juju energies going on in there. And, it, you know, and those spirits did not want us in there investigating. They were ticked off royally. You know, I mean,
and I learned with that house, it's not the house. They're attached to the ground that house is built on. And I've gone through there with Sage, and I know they've had other people that have tried to go through and do blessings. I think they even had a priest go through once and try to do a blessing on the house. And it just will not release whatever is attached to it. So I've kind of, you know, it's like I still go over there, I let them just remain where they are, where they want to be, and I don't try to move them or change anything, because they don't want to leave, is the feeling that I have very strongly with that house. But I think spending a lot of time in a house that has that much activity is probably a big reason why I am the person that I am, and why I've had the abilities that I have, is probably because of all the exposure that came from that house. And the interesting thing is that most of the women that lived in that house or spent time in that house all have psychic abilities, and all have... are all intuitive some way. So it's primarily just females, which is interesting. But that was probably my first experience with that house.
All right. We are calling in. I have had, the minute we started this show, we started having, we got just a few minutes in, and as soon as we started talking about these ghosts, we had a major internet event here, and I have lost all internet connectivity, and it's kind of surprising. I'm messaging a friend of mine, so I'm going to message someone and see if I can get her to... and have Skype and this. Go ahead and dial in.
from you here, and then I'll dial in.
Okay. All right. We are back. We have had the night from you-know-what. I will explain what happened. We had an equipment failure that was rather unanticipated, something I've never seen happen before, and it was it had to do with a network line that hooks the Ethernet up to my router. And I went through several minutes of really fast diagnostics, and I finally looked at the network line. Everything else, all my other network was running. I thought I had an internet outage, and here we go. We got Brenda back, and we will have to edit this episode and apologize for the shortened episode after I re-upload it. But we are back, and we've got an hour and 26 minutes left. Normally, we'd be on our break right now with music playing and that kind of thing. Brenda, are you there?
I am here. I am here.
Oh, my goodness. We are back on the air. And I had to do a little bit of quick surgery on the electronics around here to get everything back. But my network line that I have used, I've had this same network line for probably 10 years. And I've used it on a bunch of different computers. And it chose that time to fail in the middle of the show. And thank God I had another line that was just as long on another computer. And I've got it stretched in a very unprofessional way across the room. So I am completely flummoxed at this, but you know, it's funny. We were talking because we had, matter of fact, I'm just making sure I message somebody. Let me just say that I'm trying to get, if you could message our mutual friend and let her know that we are back, because I can't do it. My phone is being weird. Actually,
let me see if I can.
Okay, here, wait a minute. So, back on the air. I can do it now. Bad line. But you know, it's funny. You and I were talking off, you know, because I grabbed my cell phone and I'm going, oh my God. Now we got another message. I mean, stuff is flying all over the place, and I'm trying to say, I'll just say, here we go, back on the air, bad Ethernet line, fixed, we're not going away because some ghost messed with us. Okay, so we were talking at some length about your experiences in that home in Fair Oaks, and it was really interesting because and as soon as we mentioned that, boom, we're off the air.
Oh, no. So I'm beginning to think that maybe I shouldn't talk about that house.
Well, it's funny because we've had this kind of thing happen on the show in earlier years when we were on, and we had strange things that would happen, and some subjects just seemed to be that which created problems. And this is our second time trying to do this show. I mean, the first time we couldn't even get on the air because of some weird things with Blog Talk Radio, and then an equipment failure. You know, it's something that can happen anytime, but you know, and I was listening to, I was telling you earlier on the phone, we were listening to, I had been listening to Midnight in the Desert, Kingdom of Nye with Heather Wade. And she went through a real similar experience 2 weeks ago, or a little less than 2 weeks ago. And it just, you know, I was feeling so sorry for her. And I'm going, oh, thank God, my equipment's so good. I don't have these troubles. I don't have, my system is so much simpler, and it'll never happen. And here we are. And it's like somebody was like going, I'm going to show you how this works. So anyway, but back to where we were.
Yeah. Back to where we were. I don't know. Kind of afraid to talk about that place now.
if it breaks again, we're just going to say to heck with it. And, you know, we've got an hour and 22 minutes left, and we're doing good. And, you know, and our listener, our mutual friend is listening now. So hello, mutual friend who's been on the air
Hello,
with us before.
Mutual
Hello,
friend.
Hello, mutual friend. Welcome to our Ghost Challenged episode tonight. It's highly unprofessional tonight because everything went haywire on us. And I am actually thinking that we had, she says, hello, my loves. And it's good to see her there listening in. So we know we have at least one listener listening in. But once we got talking about that house, I mean, there were a lot of bad jujus there at that place. And you grew up in it. So, I mean, you saw and heard and felt things, you know. So go on with that subject.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
I am sure. Because I have a brand new line on there.
The energy in that, it's progressed, though, since you were there that one time. They've actually had, in the garage, they've had boxes fly across the garage, which were things that never happened when I was a kid. So it's, I don't know, it's almost, that place is almost like a vortex or an opening where it just keeps, I think there's new things that just keep coming in constantly.
You know,
it's
funny because, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I jumped right in.
Go ahead.
Well, it's funny because there was, oh, you go ahead. You go first. I'm not going to talk until you finish what you were going to say.
it's a very, interesting place. I mean, there are some definite spirits there that have been there for a long time, and those are the ones that I'm familiar with. But it's like there's new ones that keep coming in and out constantly. And there's that one back bedroom where it's just the temperature is different from the rest of the house. And when you first walk into that room, you almost feel kind of dizzy, like things are spinning in there. And everything is completely different in that room than the rest of the house. So
you know,
but go ahead and say what you
funny.
Were going to say.
Well, it's funny because you mentioned that, and that is a frequent complaint that a lot of people have when going into a haunting, especially a place that has a really active and very established haunt, is that you will feel like you're standing on the ocean, kind of on waves when you walk in.
Yeah.
And you'll get that dizzy feeling.
Yeah.
And I had that at a hotel in Southern California. I cannot remember the name of it for the life of me, but it was Saint Something Hotel, and it was where Rudy Valley had stayed for some time. He was basically, I think, almost living there, and he had a particular room. And I went and stayed in that hotel, and that was back in 2007. In July of 2007, I went to this place, and it was just, as soon as I got the key and stood in front of the front door, I could feel the energy shifting. And what would happen is this spirit would come in and shake the bed and try to wake you up and have you move. And some people think it was, you know, Rudolph Valentino, but I really didn't believe it was. It was definitely a male, but I didn't feel that it was Rudolph Valentino so much. I just felt like whoever it was really decided that that was their room. And our mutual friend is saying the same thing, that was his room. And it was just such a, it was a Southern California town. I think it was above Santa Barbara. And I cannot remember. Uh-huh. It was Saint Something. And I'll go ahead and post something about it when I research it after the show and, you know, update it on our Facebook page and point out to that, you know, what that place is about. But when you asked the staff about it, they were going, oh yeah, it's haunted. But you know, I mean, that same thing I've found repeatedly, when you walk into a haunted place, you just get this overwhelming sense of dizziness, you know? And, but did you have that the whole time you were living at that place? I mean, you just would feel dizzy and spinning and all that stuff.
In that one particular room, it seems like that one particular, and the energy changes in that house, the feelings change throughout the house, but that one particular room has always felt different than the rest of the house. And it's kind of interesting that it's that room that's kind of separated off on the other side of the kitchen, so it's not even where the rest of the bedrooms are, which is kind of weird that it would, you know, that it has that weird feeling. But the rest of the house, it's like there, I can feel one energy that's dominant through the rest of the house, and I don't feel him so much in that back bedroom, but throughout the rest of the house I do.
It was interesting because I remember the when we pulled out the EMF meters, the power system was just putting out ungodly amounts of EMF, and it was almost like it's powering the whole thing, and there was something really weird with the wiring in that house. So, you know, it was probably that way when you came in, and whatever it is, you know, because I really believe that electrical systems can, especially a malfunctioning one, can really add to an already existing haunt. But I remember another case we had in Fair Oaks that you weren't on with me, and I had been hunting with another group out of Sacramento that still exists, but I don't really want to say their name because I really don't. I'll be judicious in my view, the way I say this, but their methods were not those that I would use. And they were constantly finding things that, you know, when you would do debunking, you would find things that were, they would find things that were really provable. And I did that, and I got a lot of criticism for it. But yet there were spirits in the area, and we got all kinds of EVPs that were amazing. And it turns out, I mean, that whole area of Fair Oaks, California, I mean, it's just and we're talking about a suburb of Sacramento. Fair Oaks is on the Highway 50 corridor heading towards Lake Tahoe if you go out of Sacramento. So you have to drive about 15 minutes to get to Fair Oaks from downtown Sacramento. And there's just something about that place that's just got a weird vibe. And a lot of the homes in there are haunted. And throughout the whole area, it's not just a single place, you know.
And I really feel that it's not the homes, it's the ground that they were built on, because the energy that's there is very old and has been there for a very long time. And like with the house that I was talking about, the people that lived there, their parents actually built that house, so there hasn't been anybody else that's lived in that house but their family. And there weren't, you know, any deaths or anything like that happened in the house. But that house has always had that kind of energy throughout it from the day it was built.
Well, you know, it's funny because I've heard that there was a lot of, you know, American Indian activity, you know, like they lived by the creek that ran through there. And they kind of had that whole area that was their place they ran. And they had, you know, their burial grounds are there, their sacred grounds are there. And all these people have moved in and, you know, plowed it all up and turned it into this big, you know, suburb of Sacramento. And so I am absolutely certain there's just a lot of that kind of energy. And maybe the place you were on was some important site, if not, you know, a graveyard, you know, because we've seen that repeatedly on cases that we did, you know, for GRI. But my goodness, you know, I mean, for you to have to live with that all that time, but do you think that's what got you into this? I mean, you just realized that, you know, this is for me. I mean, I didn't like living in this, but, you know, I'm going to continue doing this work and following what these things are and try to figure it out.
Of course, you know, when I was a young kid, it scared me, you know, it scared me to death. In fact, the hallway that's in that house, I remember as a kid not ever being able to walk down that hallway. I would run down it. And in fact, I would, you know, we would run anytime we had to do anything in that house. But as I got older and I began to understand more about what it was that I was feeling in there, there's still parts of it that I am a little frightened of, because there is obviously there's some negative stuff in there, but it became more of an interest to me to find out what's there and why, and, you know, to try to, I don't really try to communicate with it because I don't think it wants to be, it doesn't want to communicate, but I think it just wants to be acknowledged that it's there. And that's where it lives. And
it's funny because, you know, I mean, so many cases we were on where you would get EVPs and you would have spirits that would just, you know, say stuff like, get out, you know, or go away. And they would just do everything they could to be nasty to you. And then there were others that were just really gentle, kind souls that really wanted you to know they were there and wanted to communicate.
Right.
And some of them, you know, a lot of them have agendas and some, do, you know, quite a few do not. They're just kind people. And you never know what you're going to get when you go into a case. And often you get a mix, you know, you get good and bad. And you just have to kind of roll with it. And a lot of people get weirded out by the communications. Even me with EVP that I've just done, I did like last year in the winter, I started getting a lot of threats, and I just kind of looked at it and went, you know what, I'm going to back off a little and kind of rethink this because of the, you know, some of the threats that they, you know, and this is on my own home. I mean, where I live, because, you know, I'm in a haunted gold mine that I live on. I mean, we literally live on top of an old gold mining area claim. That was from, you know, the early 1800s or the mid 1800s, you know, when the gold rush happened. And it just, they descended through all of the little tributaries and everything. They were digging up everything. And we, you know, we've found a lot of implements and stuff. And we even have graveyard or graves of people that dropped dead and they buried them on the property. And I've tracked three of them that we know for sure are graves. And we have a fourth, which is that woman that, you know, we found out we had this woman spirit, which I'll get into later, who I actually helped cross over. But, you know, it's just such a weird thing when you get into this whole subject of spirits and they're haunting a place and you got to try to find the reason why they're coming around and what they're doing. And I'm still kind of mystified why they're so interested in that place you were in, you know. I mean, it's just a head scratcher, you know.
Well, I have a lot of theories about that place. Some of them may sound a little far-fetched, but I know there's one main entity there that just doesn't, that's his place. He doesn't want to leave. And I think the other ones that are there are somehow they're like, I think they're held there by that one energy is the feeling that I have.
Yeah. And that's something you see a lot of cases where there's a dominant energy, a dominant entity that's got something, some ability to control the rest of them. I've seen so many stories just on, you know, paranormal TV shows where that's happened. And it would be, I mean, did you ever think of doing like a cleansing or try to get rid of them? Or was that just something out of the question from, you know, from your point of view?
Actually, I have gone through that house several times with sage, and I have tried to do a cleansing. Interestingly enough, most of the women that actually have been associated with that house have been involved in some sort of something having to do with metaphysics. We've all had an attraction to metaphysics. So there's been a lot of blessings and rituals and things like that that have gone on in that house to try to cleanse it or bless it or kind of neutralize the energy that's there. And I believe they even have had a priest come out to that house. But I think it doesn't want to leave. I think it knows it has the option to leave. It just doesn't want to.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because if you, you could do concentrated work on it. You know, it's funny because a lot of people do a cleansing and then they get a temporary effect and then the entity's back within a week or 10 days, you know, in many cases, and then people get disheartened. And the thing I've found with the cleansings is that you have to stick with it. You know, you really got to show that you are determined to stay here and outlast this thing so that it'll go on. And that means you're basically going to be on a schedule, you know, for however long it takes to keep the place, you know, cleansed. And you got to go around the whole house, do salt, do ritual work in all the rooms, and just keep at it, you know, and put up whatever system of belief you have, holy water, or if you wanted, you know, blessed water or whatever your system of belief is, as long as you believe and you're putting your real heart into it and you're pushing for the good, it'll work, but you've got to keep it up. It's just like exercise. You can't just get healthy, you know, if you're out of shape in one session. You've got to do it a lot, you know, and that's something that I really look at people who call, you know, they'll go and research somebody and go, okay, you're in, you can clear them out and it's done. You know, it's like, you know, I just, or I'm ordering this thing done and it's the end of it. And no, that's not going to work. You know, short term. Yeah. But well, you're just, you know, pissing them off is what you're doing.
The last time I went through that house was with the one sister that I was the closest to that actually passed away. But I the last time I went into that house, we walked through with sage and we had some blessing water and we did try to do a cleansing. But I was so physically exhausted afterwards; it completely drained me.
Wow.
And that's part of the reason why I haven't attempted it again. But
it's funny. Yeah, it's funny because when you it's like when I did mediumship here on the show, which we are going to get back into, by the way. We'll talk about that on another show, but we will be doing readings on the show, you know, hopefully in the next N number of weeks. But I'm still dealing with this whole health issue. And not a good idea to do mediumship when you're having health problems. So, but when I would come out of doing a read, your just body is just completely exhausted, and you're just like, oh my goodness, you know, this is crazy, you know. So, I think you're pointing out something that's really important, you know, that when you start feeling like that, they're drawing on your energy to, you know, power them, you know, especially and if they don't like what you're doing, they're going to really, you know, set in on you and try to just kind of do whatever to get you to go away, you know? So, But you know, we're coming up on, the break. We missed our entire first break. So we're going to come up on our break and do our station identification and do our thing. So I'm going to play, something here. Let's look for something that's a good 5 minutes. And I'm going to play this. And so we will be back in 4 minutes, 59 seconds, and see you guys. And we'll just continue on with this discussion. You're listening to Soul Stream on Blog Talk Radio. Here we go. Coming to you from the gold country of Northern California, this is Soul Stream with John Almada on blogtalkradio.com. Want to send John and Brenda a short message during the show? Visit soulstream.com/quantum and send your message tonight. And we are back. It's really nice on those breaks. You can grab a quick something to drink and you get a little bio time if you need it. And we are Soul Stream. I'm back. Glad to be back. This is John Almada, and Brenda Orr, my co-host, and I are talking ghosts. And it's been an eventful night with strange events happening in the studio. The drama. Oh, the drama of a broken Ethernet line. And
so
you can hear my...
over that cable you've got strung across the room.
Yeah, I'm looking to the right, and oops, I'm hitting the mic. But I've literally got it strung over my big screen TV. It's literally hanging in the air, going around my Epson printer, and to the back of the broadcast computer. And I am looking at it, going, "How in the heck did that line just pick that time to go? I mean, that old line. It's an old gray Ethernet line I've had for years and years, and it never has been a problem. And it just, I was talking with you, and suddenly it just went away." Everything went away.
Yeah.
I'm looking and I'm going, "Hey, I've got no Ethernet. What's going on?" You know, and it took us close to 10 minutes to figure it out. You know what was happening? It was like, "Oh dear God!" You know, I was panicked. I was like, "God, I'm rebooting the router. I'm resetting the modem. I go, what is going on?" And then finally, I decided I'm gonna check this other computer I've got. Well, hey, I've got Ethernet. Wait a minute. And then I looked at I rebooted this computer, the broadcast computer I'm using, and then I thought, you know, I bet that Ethernet line might be it. So I'll just string this other one over, and bam, we're back up. And I'm like, oh. And I was on the phone with you just going, oh. So anyway, you know, I think there was something about us discussing that case, that place that you lived at. That happens with these broadcasts, you know, and it's just, it's the other side letting it know, you know, letting you know. But, you know, it's funny. I looked up the other day, you know, we have this haunt going on here at my home, and we see things regularly here. And was just sitting at, I'm having to kind of lay down a lot because this back is so bad. So I will get up and I will go out and grab something. And I'm reduced. I'm going to be very, here I am. I'm 59 years old in, you know, next month. And I'm a fairly vital man. You know me, Brenda. I mean, I'm you know,
yes,
definitely get around and move quick. And I'm just like a really, you know, mover and shaker and getter. And I was reduced. I'm going to admit to you and the audience. I have felt really good about my order to Amazon for a walker.
So
I've got this really, I've got this sporty looking walker that I use to cruise to the kitchen, you know, and my mother, who I help take care of, she's got a walker. So here we are, you know, there's this 78-year-old woman, and then I'm come zoom by going, this walker. But I was sitting there just a couple of days ago, and I'm looking, I was laying in bed, and I just sat up, and I was messing with my computer, and I look, and I see this black energy go right through the door into my room and disappear. And it was just here and gone. And we see that all the time, you know, and I don't know that that's quote so much a ghost, but I do believe that there are spiritual entities and that come through that are, they may be good, they may be not, but you see these little things, you know. I don't know if you catch those kinds of things. They're like little balls of black or white that go zooming by, you know, and you don't know what they are, but I didn't feel anything bad from it. I just was looking, going, well, that was interesting, you know, and You get to wondering, you know, is it kind of like an amoeba, or is it kind of a little spirit animal that just goes zip, you know, goes zooming by? I mean, I don't know, you know? I mean, there's so much we don't know about this. I mean,
Right. Does
it happen to you? Well, have you seen those things?
I have. Out of the corner of my eye, I'll see it. But I have seen, up at your property, I have seen shadow people outside. There's a lot of, you have a lot of that outside on your property, particularly over by
Yes. Where
your studio is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because over the years I had seen some very tall ones, upwards of 8 to 9 feet tall. I mean,
yes.
We're talking immense
yeah.
sized
yeah.
entities.
Yeah.
And they would be
That's
seen
funny.
More in
yeah.
the fall, the late fall. You would see
yeah.
them near Halloween of all times. It would be, you would catch them and you knew that they were aware of you and they just went about their business. But you could feel that they were like, going, yeah, I know you're there. You know, and they would walk by
yeah.
and you would just be like with your mouth open going, what the are those things? You know, and
yeah.
and they seem to have an interest in the work we were doing in the studio. I've had quite a few run-ins with them, but they've never come and overtly messed with us. They've just kind of given us a berth, you know, and you don't know what they are. I don't know that they're bad, but I don't know that they're good.
I don't know a lot about them either. The energy does not feel human. I will say that. They feel very different than a human spirit. So I'm not really sure what they are. And you're right. They don't, there's an interest that's coming from them. They're like interested in what you're doing, but I don't really feel anything negative about them.
It's as if they were, yeah, I've often had this thought that they're not quite of our universe and they have some overlap
yeah.
and they can see you and you're like a black shadow maybe to them. And they, you know, and it may
right.
be that we're just seeing each other and going, I see you, but I don't know what you are. So they might be looking at us thinking, oh, are they us or are they some other thing? You know, I mean, to them,
right.
they're human and we're the inhumans, you know, and it's kind of like, you know. So I often wonder if there's some of this stuff that we see, you know, we're looking at maybe some impinging, you know, of our reality with another one, maybe separate of the other side. I mean, it would be just another universe, you know, but yeah, there's some weird stuff with that. But yeah, our property seems to be a magnet for all this kind of stuff, you know, we had so many spirits, especially when my dad got sick. That was another thing that happened. You know, my dad had a stroke in, early August of 2007. And when he had the stroke, our spirit activity went off the charts. I mean, we were already having a lot of haunts as it was, but it turned out that stroke victims especially seem to attract entities of all types and not always good. And I was sitting there one time in 2009, it was April, and it was broad daylight, and I'm talking with my father, and he couldn't take the light. So we had the valances drawn closed, and what happened was I was talking with him, and all of a sudden this spirit just comes through the valance, literally through it, and it looked like, I swear to God, it looked like it was from Casper, the Friendly Ghost. You know those older three ghosts that were like, you know, Casper's older brother kind of thing? This thing looked just like that, except it had no eye sockets. It was just blanks for eyes. And it smiled at me.
Wow.
And it was sitting next to my father. And I stopped in mid-sentence talking to my father. And I'm like, oh. And Dad looks at me and goes, what? You know, and he could barely speak right. So in his own language, he was saying to me, what are you seeing? And I just kind of looked. And it smiled and it disappeared back through the wall and out the valance and back outside.
Wow.
And I just was like, nothing. Just had a moment of like, I just was weird. And I mean, how do you tell a scientist like him, you know, I just saw a spirit next to you and I'm going to freak you out, you know, cause I don't think it was really nice. You know, I mean, you don't do that to your relative who's sick, you know, but, But it was so funny because I didn't say anything about it to my mother, and she came back a couple of days later. And she goes, "I've been seeing this black spot right outside the den." And I go, "Well, let me tell you what happened to me with Dad a couple of days ago." And it turned out we were having a lot of the same experiences. But I've come to the conclusion that sick and dying people are basically magnets for this kind of stuff. They really bring in the entities, and especially when somebody's getting ready to cross. I mean, it just, this place lit up like a Christmas tree, you know, towards the end of my dad's life in late 2011 into 2012. And we were just inundated with spirits. I mean, I quit counting like 2 or 3 days before he died. We were seeing upwards of having 20 to 50 sightings a day. It was just that much. They were just always around. And we were seeing relatives. We were seeing spirits we didn't know. Full-on, you know, visual encounters. I mean, they were lifelike. You know, my mother came around the corner and looked, and here's my my dead grandmother, my father's mother, sitting there. And then my dad himself spotted his father but didn't recognize him, which was really interesting. But when we asked him about it, it was, you know, his father was a very prominent neurosurgeon, and it was just very strange, you know. I mean, did you ever have anything like that with relatives who passed and stuff just went off the meter with, you know, spirits coming around?
Actually, when my grandmother, who I was very, very close to, when she was at the end of she passed away. She was in the hospital for, my grandmother had never really been sick, but when she got sick, she was in the hospital for 3 days and then she passed. So it was pretty sudden and a shock to our family because we weren't expecting that to happen. But in her hospital room, remember just feeling like there were, I mean, it was just myself, my grandfather, and my mother in that room, but it felt like there were so many people in that room. It just, I almost felt like claustrophobic. It just, the energy was so thick in that room around her. Grandmother had been a social worker, and she had many, many friends. She touched many, many lives during her lifetime. And I really feel that there were a lot of people that were, a lot of spirits who had passed, people who had passed over that were there with her, helping her cross, is the feeling that I had. I'll never forget. Just that feeling of claustrophobia. It was, and, you know, and feeling like I was like in a packed sardine can in this room when actually it was a pretty good sized room and there was just the three of us with my grandmother in there.
Yeah, that was the same situation with Dad. I mean, when he left in late February of 2012, and it was just this little small room, you know, there in the hospital he was in, and we were staying through, and we had to wear special gowns because he had been exposed to C. diff, which is a pretty catchable disease, and we were wearing gowns, so it was really a lot of effort. We'd go in and gown up and wear our gloves and mask, and we would be with him, and it was really weird. It was a surreal scene, you know, and you're looking through, you know, you look like a surgeon when you come in, you know, and here he is, and he's just himself, and he's laughing and joking and trying to make us all feel better, which was really surreal. And I remember when... You know, it's funny, my mother could not do it, so I had to give the order to pull the medications because there were certain medications that had to be withdrawn so he could, you know, let go. And there was just no way that he could be saved because his lungs were literally just gone. And they were pumping as much oxygen as they could to keep him going, but it just couldn't be sustained. And it would have actually been a very painful way to go if we had continued, you know, life support the way it was going. But I was really upset, you know, with everything. I mean, you know, it's watching your father die is just not something you're trained for. And even though I was a medium, it's like, you know, this is really tough. And I remember at 1 o'clock in the morning, we were all sitting there talking, and I stood up and I happened to look out the door, And I watched a 6.5 foot tall dark shaped entity go breezing by. And when I looked at it, every bit of blood in me drained. And I realized what I was looking at was death itself. It was just, I've never seen anything that scary. I mean, I've dealt with some negative entities and I've faced down stuff and been a tough hombre, but that just sent me to pieces. And they had to actually bundle me up and get me out of there. And they took me downstairs to the intensive care area and gave me a place to sleep. And I was out of commission till 5 o'clock in the morning when they called me. They said, "You got to come up now. He's going." And so I was there and was through the whole thing. But, you know, it was so strange because and I didn't have a terror of death, if you know, as a spirit. But I was like looking at it going, holy, you know, this is as real as it gets. But you think that the myth of seeing death, you know, with the scythe and all that, there was no scythe. It was just this black entity with this, and you knew what you were looking at was real. And it was just, I don't know if you've ever experienced or heard these stories, but I believe that death is a very real entity, and it's, I don't see it as evil. I just see it as doing a job, you know. And it does its job.
Right.
Yeah. So.
No, I've never seen it, but like with my grandmother, I knew the last time I was at the hospital, I knew that because she had the death rattle when she was breathing, and I knew that there wasn't that much time left. And I actually told my mother that I couldn't be there when she, you know, when she took her last breath. And I think part of me was afraid to experience what you experienced. I didn't want to, being a medium, I didn't want to see that. So I said my goodbyes to my grandmother then, and then waited for them to call me to tell me that she'd passed. But I did not want to be there at the very end.
It's so funny because we all have, you know, it's funny. I watched a number of people in media talking about these experiences. And there's so many people that are real judgmental about somebody who says, "I can't take it and I need to get out." And it's like the worst thing you can do to somebody who is emotionally close to someone who's passing is to come in, you know, and say, you know, "You left and you didn't see it through." And it's like, you know what? Everybody has their own way of dealing with it, and it's perfectly okay if you can't be there for that. And the person who's dying is not going to hold it against you. It's just that some people's makeup is just tough. You know, it's tough for them to face down, you know, something like that. And I think it's just wrong. You know, but I mean, my dad's case, you know, I stayed with him as long as I could, and I could not do it any longer. And my mom and my sister carried the load until I came back. But when I came back up, he was on his last few breaths and I held him while he died, you know, and it was just a very surreal thing, you know, and then I went to pieces even worse, you know. And so, but, you know, it's funny because the night before he died, we saw the most spirits we'd seen of any of all the activity, which we've been going through. We did this ride for 5 years with him sick like he was. And, he, the night before, we were having just open sightings. We were sitting there watching TV. I was watching TV with my mother, and we would like, we're counting. Okay, there's one, there's one, there's one. And they were circling the room. You know, they were coming in and out of the room. We'd see them go by in the hallway. You'd see them go, you know. And it was like they were trying to just comfort us. You know, Dad was up at the hospital, you know, 15 miles from us, and they're with us. You know, and it was like they were trying to make sure we were going to be okay. And it, you know, as soon as he died, we had these, it just kind of went away. You know, the only spirit we saw afterwards was, I vaguely remember my father being at the foot of my bed the day he died when I went to sleep. And I heard him, but I couldn't wake up enough to actually look. It was, you know, have you ever been that? You're half awake, half asleep, and you know your loved one is there and they're saying stuff and you don't know what they're saying, you know, I mean, it was really strange. Yeah. And then the next morning I got up and I went to the kitchen and I was getting coffee and I, poured my coffee, and I just turned around and looked, and here comes my father walking right by in full living color with his oxygen tube on, in his pajamas, and he walks around the corner, heads into the back room where the laundry room is, and disappears in the span of about 5 seconds. You know, so and it was his way. I mean, you met my father. You know, he was like a smart aleck to the max degree, and he was always so sure of, it's all BS what you do. This spirit stuff is BS. And then, and then he shows up the next day and goes, And I've always thought the thing was that he was saying, yeah, you were right. you were right.
Yeah.
I was
Honestly, I think he truly believed that all along. I think he, part of that was him teasing you, I think.
I think you're right.
Because. Yeah,
go ahead.
Being in the industry that he was in, I mean, you know that he had some, I mean, maybe not a lot of, well, I don't know. That property out there is pretty, there's a lot of activity out on that Aerojet property, but I'm sure he had a lot of experiences, different things. So there was more believing there than I think he really wanted you to know.
Well, it's so funny because, I'm looking to get stories from some of the other people I worked with out there because, you know, the plant is shutting down. I mean, Aerojet was a big part of my life. You know, I grew up in the business of having all these amazing rocket scientists over at the house. You know, for us, the Apollo program and Gemini and, you know, all these different, NASA programs and the defense industry that we did was just, that was just like our life. You know, we did this stuff. And there were also the accidents and the things that happened out there, and people lost their lives. I mean, for every person we lost in a spaceflight accident, 100 have given their lives on the ground. And so, I've got plenty of stories that I could tell about some of the things that happened there. But I'll do that on a future show. I'm going to be looking at some of the experiences I had. I need to kind of write them all down because so many happened in my 30 years there on the facility. And we had a number of times I'd be in a building alone and you would have a spirit actually whisper. You would hear people whisper or talk to you, or you'd feel a presence or you'd feel a touch. And I was not the only one. I mean, there were plenty of people that had these experiences. And you know, a lot of office building haunts, I'm sure you've run into that, working in an office and stuff happens and you're like, you're not the only one experiencing it. What are your stories? Let's hear some of yours.
I worked for a telecommunications company for quite a few years, but we had an office at McClellan Air Force Base, and I worked graveyard out, and it was an old aircraft hangar that they converted into an office building. But we had all kinds of experiences at night in that building. In fact, I didn't really like to walk around there at night by myself. Because there was a lot of activity. But and one of the guys that I worked nights with went upstairs, and when he was gone for a while, and then he came back down to where our office was, and his face was just as white as a sheet. And I asked him, I said, are you okay? Boy. And it's like he was stuttering. He couldn't talk to me. It took him a few minutes before he could talk to me. And he said that he was upstairs, and when he turned around, there was a young man standing behind him that was in a uniform and just kind of dissipated in front of him.
We
had a lot of experiences out there.
Well, there were a lot of accidents at McClellan, and also Mather was, Sacramento at one time had two Air Force bases. There was the McClellan facility, which was a kind of a big maintenance depot, any aircraft that in the Air Force that needed maintenance and that kind of thing, they would fly them there. And I think it was the West Coast Depot. I don't know much about how they did their command structure and all that, but then Mather was more active military. It was like a real base where you had You know, they were flying nuclear training missions and different kinds of things, and they would fly right over the plant where I was at. I remember early on in my youth, that, you know, working out there in tactical, you know, systems where I was at, I would be sitting there having lunch and watching B-52s that I knew were fully armed with, you know, nukes go right over, you know, and that was the old days when that, you know, before the Russians fell and everything changed in the world. But, you know, for those 6 years that I was, you know, in the midst of the Cold War, it was like, wow, you know, and there was a lot of aircraft crashes at both bases, you know, so people lost their lives in accidents of all types. And even on the facility where I was, I mean, my father, I mean, I'll talk, you know, I'm going to write down all these things, but we had a lot of loss of life too at our facility in the early, especially in the 60s and 70s, there were a lot of accidents. And they finally they got into robotics and they cut a lot of the accidents down. But you had these people that were here one moment and gone the next. And they were out of their bodies and then they're like haunting the place. And, you know, people have these stories and you just go, oh my goodness, you know. And I would love to do an investigation, you know, once my back is better, if I could ever get onto Mather or McClellan. Oh my goodness. You know, I think that would be just an amazing place to investigate. But, I mean, you know, wow. Hey, we're running into we're going to come back here in just a little bit. We're ready for our break, and we will be back in, let's say, 4 minutes and 26 seconds. So, hey, Brenda, hang on, and we will be right back and talk more spirits and ghosts on Blog Talk Radio here on SoulStream. Coming to you from the gold country of Northern California, this is Soulstream with John Almada on blogtalkradio.com. With John and Brenda, dial 213-943-3623 to be part of the show. And oh, we are back. We're on the final leg here. What an eventful 2 hours it's been. Oh my goodness. And I was just chatting with our mutual friend. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. I have to tell you that since we've been doing the show, you know, I have three felines that I share my house with. They are like wigging out on me tonight. They're just running around doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So,
well,
this is kind of interesting.
You've stirred it up. Especially,
I know.
I mean, you're living in an old place that you felt like there was some activity, and
yes.
Who knows, we might have stirred some stuff up on you. And I apologize, but you know, considering, I mean, I had my frigging show explode on me when you and I were talking about what happened with you. Oh my God. it's funny because I'm going to recommend something to people who do have active ghosts that they're experiencing or they're feeling energies. You can do a lot by just taking a notepad and making it dedicated to, writing down the date, time, and what happened. And if you keep that up, you're going to start to actually get a feel for the patterns and who and what you're dealing with. So, I mean, if you were to start tonight with this place and write down, like, you know, what happened with the cats and kind of when it all happened and which cat did what, you know, that would be like a really good start. You know, you could keep a little database and then see what's going on. It's a good technique that you use in paranormal investigation. You know, you really track what's going down with the animals. And I kind of got reminded of that by Sharon Day, who was on the show here, the prior Saturday before last Saturday's debacle. We tried to do this show, and I just have that feeling that whatever was plaguing us was really related, that the other side was really kind of pushing us, you know. So I'm not surprised that you're having stuff happen now, because, you know. And by the way, our mutual friend who is, kind of a godmother, she's referring to herself as a Soulstream godmother. She is going to be donating a piece of equipment to someone and hopefully improving our sound. And I don't think I'm the someone, so only one other person that could be. So you might want to get in touch with her, because we're going to we've taken on some because I think you're on a phone right now, are you not? You're just on a regular phone line.
Yes, I am. Yes,
oh, we're going to fix that. You're going to sound just like me. Without the deep voice and the radio stuff.
Which will be fantastic.
You're going to be more Brenda than Brenda ever was. You're going to be severely Brenda-ized. You're going to be Brenda-ized. So anyway, I haven't seen a big laughing symbol out of our mutual Soulstream godmother, but I'm hoping I will see. I'm just kind of pushing that out there. I'm waiting for the icon to show up, so I want to see laughing, and I'm just waiting. But anyway, we've been talking about all these things. You know, I mean, you know, it's funny with old places. Like, you know, here you are, you moved into an old place, and you're starting to have these experiences.
Yeah.
And with you you're like a one-woman wrecking ball of spirit, because when you come in, you've got all this purple stuff, and you've got all this spirit energy, and all these things follow you. And you just sort of shake it up. So I'm not surprised you're having the cats wig out right now. I really am not, you know, so.
And you know what's,
or
what's
they got the catnip.
Is, you know? I have one tabby who just, he doesn't care. He's just laying on the bed, but it's my two black cats that are just like going nuts on me. So, and black cats are special anyway.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You reminded me because I saw that little energy that came in. It was a black color, and we lost my little cat Samantha. She died in I think it was in March, and we had to bury her up with all the other pets. And it was the last cat we had, and we just haven't had the heart to get another cat in here. But she made appearances. I actually heard her mew the day we put her down. Aww. Because she had cancer and it just ate her up. And so we put her down, and when we got home, I actually heard her in the hall meowing for us. And then Mom and me started to have little things happen, you know, and spirits, animal spirits are real, you know, they love us and they will come back. And, oh my goodness. You know, so who knows what you're running into there? I mean, it could be a human spirit. It could be some other animal spirit. Maybe there's a couple of black cats that are coming around going, "Hey, I like you. Want to play?" And it's like,
"Well,
what the frig is this?"
Cats in my lifetime. I've had hundreds of cats in my lifetime. There's probably a whole herd of them that follow me around.
We're the same. It was funny. We had four cats at one time, and I mean, it was a regular cavalcade of. You know, we had two indoor cats and two kind of outdoor cats, and one of them was kind of in between. It would come and go through the cat door, and the other two were really old, you know. And you met Biddy. She was just this little fluffball who thought she ruled everyone and everything, and she was just, you know, she would just look at you and just decide, "You're going to do what I want you to do," and it's like, no, you know, that's not how it works. But she. She thought she was running the roost, and then we had all these other little kitties. But out of all of them, I think three of them have made appearances out of everybody that's been here. Over the years, I mean, we had four at one time, but I think we've had upwards of seven cats, you know, here on the property. And it's kitties that seem to make the most appearance. I don't know about dogs. I haven't got a lot of dog stories, but if any of you out there are listening and you have dog stories, you know, to share with us, and I'm kind of looking at I haven't looked at the dial in. No, nobody's listening. Nobody's listening or nobody's calling. We've got one person listening for sure because we know she is listening out with us, but we're so new going back. We've lost all our old audience. No one's listening. We don't have sponsors.
We'll
we're just people lost at the way. We'll get them back.
We'll get them back.
I'll do Robert Williams and purpose. Hello, we're Robin Williams. We're back. No. You know, but I'm being so weird.
I think you should get another cat. I really do. I think you need to get another cat.
I think we'll probably do it as soon as I've got the health challenges dealt with. I mean, we're just kind of in this weird space right now with you know, because Mom is having her issues, and then I've got this back thing that's just been really just tearing me up. You know, I mean, for me to get up and move, I did it today. We went out today, and I went up into the Sierras and sat by a stream, and I was able to get away from the car, but man, I had to really take it slow and easy. And I was doing some recording for audio for the show, you know, next to the stream, and it came out kind of okay. I might use it for some mix in with some other music, and you'll hear it on the bumper sets. But it was just really tough. And I just think when we get done with that, we'll get a kitty, you know, once I get my suspicion is I'm going to be in an operating room within the next 6 weeks would be my hope. And I hope they do it sooner than later. You know, which means doing the show will be very interesting from a bed. So yeah. I'm hoping I can
but
get
you
set up with co-host rights, and then we can have you host the show, and you'll be like running everything, and I'll go, "What happened? She changed it to this." No, I'm laughing.
It'll all be Stevie Nicks music. No, I'm just kidding.
It'll be Stevie Nicks music, and everything will be purple. I'm going, "What happened?" Everything's purple.
And fairy chimes. And fairy
yeah,
chimes.
Yeah, fairy chimes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's just going to be interesting, you know, to see if they do operate. But, you know, it's funny, in hospitals, there's so many ghost sightings. And I remember an EVP. I might play it on one of the shows we do about EVPs in the future. But I did some EVP in hospitals. And, oh, my God, the amount of activity. I don't know if you've seen spirits in hospitals,
yeah.
You know, but wow. You know, you want to talk about a regular switchboard of spirits. I mean, go to a hospital. You know, you just, if you have any sensitivity whatsoever, you will feel stuff. Trust me. It's just, you know, it's insane. It's like there's regulars that hang out there and then there's ones that haunt the place. You know, I mean, remember the show Ghost Whisperer? You know?
Yes.
I mean, she would go into those hospitals and it would just be filled with all these spirits. Hey, you see me. Okay. Can you pass a message? It's like, that's how it is. It really is that way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a hospital is a channel basically, you know, where people pass over. So it's a constant channel of movement in a hospital.
Yeah, they're
very interesting places, especially if you're sensitive. They're very interesting places.
Yeah, it's funny because I was in my dad's room in 2009. He had some kidney issues, and they took out a really large kidney stone, and he was recovering in his room. And it was in kind of, what was the name of the town that he was in? We were at Mercy Hospital in trying to remember the Carmichael. We were in Carmichael and
Mercy San Juan.
And that place, Mercy San Juan. And we were in the second or third floor, and he's recovering. And I had been on a paranormal investigation. I reached in my pocket and I felt my recorder, and I went, oh, I forgot to take it out. And I realized I had all fresh batteries and all this time left on the recorder. So I thought, well, it can't hurt. He's asleep. So I just thought, all right, so I did an EVP set, and I asked if anybody was there, and the answer I got was Class A EVP. It said this really boisterous voice comes on and goes, "We guide them to the light." I mean, it said it. I'll play that on the show. It sounded something like that, but it was this really boisterous. It was just very proud of itself. We guide them to the light. And it was like, I don't think that was human.
No, I don't think it was either. In fact, I've got massive chills from that. I don't think that was human either.
Yeah.
Wow.
I got the feeling it was kind of, it had this kind of I'm important kind of a voice, and I felt like it was an angelic type spirit. You know, something that was really high ranking. It was like, yeah, I'm here to help them get to the light, you know, and that's my job. And, you're just some human being that happened to ask a question and I gave you an answer. So there, and it was really strange.
Yeah.
I mean, when I heard, I played it for my mother and she's like, what the hell? And I'm going, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. That place had vibes.
Do you notice on those recordings that sometimes if you play them back, it starts getting faint where you kind of lose that voice over time on the recording if you keep playing it over and over again?
Well,
I've noticed
I haven't had it lose it.
With...
It's funny because I've had them, the opposites happen for me. I've had recordings that when I play them back later on, it's like film developing and you'll get more. It's really a strange thing.
Wow.
Other people have commented on that. You get EVPs that will come in and you get actually more voices, not less, but I'm sure it could happen both ways. I mean, that's the first time I've heard it going reverse where you started losing it. But I mean, you know, for them to make an impression on a electronic, you know, recording, and then you're hearing it more, I've kind of felt like it's not the recording that's changing, it's we are changing, you know, and the human being that's listening can either hear more or hear less, which I think may be a reality, you know. Yeah, because You know, the checksums, you know, a digital recording is a digital recording. I mean, there are certain checksums that don't change. The recording does not change. And I, you know, I've heard people talk about this, and the more I've listened, the more and the longer I've considered it, it's like, we're not, it's not the recording that changed, it's us. And, you know, we've become more open or we've become less open, you know, to whatever that particular recording was about. And I think that it's funny because, I mean, remember when I was on Sci-Fi Channel with that one show and I played them that little boy? And it was featured on, it was on Haunted Highway. It was the episode, the first season's episode 5. And it was called, you know, Pioneer Cemetery. And when we did that, I played that EVP. They were really interested in the boy's voice. And I was hearing other voices, but I was really not getting them. And years and years later, I mean, I was on the show in 2012. And then, you know, just, you know, last year I was going through some of these old recordings and I listened to it again. And here in plain, clear voice, I'm hearing this woman speaking and it's his mother. He speaks, the boy speaks, and his mother comes on and is talking. And then you hear these other voices in the background kind of murmuring and you're going, what the hell? I mean, this is really strange, you know, and I kind of, that gave me the whole winter to think about it. I'm like, well, I didn't hear this before. And what's different? Well, I've changed, you know, and that's kind of the thing I think that happens. I don't think the recording magically just reveals stuff. I think it's, you know, our ears, our brains have to evolve to hear more of it, you know, so that's just my theory. And I could be wrong. Been wrong plenty of times. Will be wrong again. Probably wrong now. Who knows? But at least it gives you an alternative thought to consider. I'm wrong all the time. I'm just a lad from Liverpool, you know. Anyway, let's talk about the most touching, and I mean that in an emotional sense. What's the most amazing ghost you've ever run into?
I think probably, although I haven't seen, well, my grandmother's with me all the time. She's not with me all the time. I have kind of my own thoughts on that. I think that some come back and are with you, you know, physically with you, but other ones I think kind of watch you from above, and I always feel like she's watching me from a different place, but I feel her very strongly looking over me sometimes, and it does make me emotional when I feel that. But I've had some experiences with my one friend who was killed. She was my best friend when I was a child. I've had things happen with her a lot of times with feathers. She leaves me feathers, which she was very much into Native American things. So I find feathers all the time in weird places, and I know that that's from her. And it always hits me really, really strongly when I find those. And then I helped my grandfather cross, which was a very emotional experience when I did that. I know you were going to talk about the female spirit that you had at your house that you helped cross.
Well, you know, it's funny because you know, I saw her. She was one of the really amazing full bodies I've seen. I mean, I've been very blessed in that I see and hear them quite a bit. And lately, with all the pain I'm in and all the things, I'm just not as open as I normally am because, I mean, I'm dealing with a lot of pain, you know, and your body is just like, I'm hurting. I'm not going to be letting you do spirit stuff. You need to focus on fixing this mechanical issue. And, when I was in my 20s, I was sleeping down at the cabin just down, you know, it's about 300 feet away from here. And I woke up in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock in the morning and I shot bolt upright and I'm looking and there's a woman standing there looking at me. and she was dressed in kind of a simple plain garb with a shawl over her head, and she's looking at my paintings I just hung up, which were Native American. And she looked at me, and it was a 15-second sighting. I mean, she's looking at me, I'm looking at her, and my mouth is flown open, and I'm just going, what the frig was that? And she just disappears, slowly smiling. And I'm still not sure to this day that she's the same one as Anna. I really am not. I just don't know. Because after I saw her, a lot of things opened up for me. There was a lot more spirit activity that came all around me all the time, and it's never really stopped. I mean, even with the condition I'm in right now, with the stuff going on with me physically, you know, I'm still seeing little things. You know, it's kind of letting me know that, yeah, we're there. You know, you've got to fix this thing, and then we'll get back to your regular routine. But, you know, I remember the one show that I did here on Soulstream. It was years ago, and I had had a really good night with readings, and we were I was on cloud nine when I left, and my dad had died, you know, so I think it was about 2013, you know, so he died in 2012, but I'd had a really good night reading people, and I was just feeling really good about the show, and I got in, and it was about midnight, and I chatted with friends and people on Facebook, and then I decided, well, I'm going to go lights out. So I closed the laptop down, set it at the side of the bed, and I turned the light out. And what ended up happening, it's funny, my mind lamp just turned purple, which is high spirit. And I turned off the computer, turned the light out, and immediately this male hand reaches over and squeezes my arm and holds it for like about 10 seconds. And it's holding my arm, wow. And I'm like sitting there, and I was just in dumbstruck, you know, because it was real. It wasn't me falling asleep. It was like the light had been out for maybe all of 5 seconds, and I was just settling into bed, and I'm immediately reached over, and this hand just gently squeezes my arm, and it just lets. It's like, I don't know if it was my father, but what I do know is there was someone there that was really approving of the work I was doing, because. Mediumship is really important to me. I mean, you know, you're really dealing with people's hearts and souls when right. they lose someone really right. special to them. And when you lose a relative, you know, for me, losing my father was just devastating. And matter of fact, I mean, I kind of quit doing the show because I was dealing with so much grief. I thought I could handle it. And I found out that grief is a lot stronger than even a medium can deal with. You know, you have to go through it. You don't get to control the circumstances and how you react. You just react. And grief is it's a tough process. And different people handle it differently. And I handled it by, you know, finally looking at some of the things that were happening on the show that were negative that I've changed since then. So, I mean, I've had time to think about what I would take and what we wouldn't do on the show and change that. But grief is just so tough, you know. But I mean, getting back to the spirit, though, I mean, that was such an affirmation. I mean, it was such this great moment of this actual contact with the etheric realm, reaching out and squeezing your arm. I mean, wow. You know, I just feel I'm still amazed at that. I mean, to me, it was just the most heart-wrenching thing that ever happened of all of my encounters. And I've had just literally hundreds and hundreds of it. Spirit encounters, and this one was just wow. There's no other words for it. Wow. So it really happened, and you know, people cannot believe it if they don't want to. I know what happened to me. I know that these things happen to people. They're real, and you can't you know, when it happens to you, I mean, the skeptics can sit there and, you know, write their little things about, you know, what we see and say, oh, you're just imagining things, you know. No, there's an underpinning to reality. You know, the mechanics of reality is such that the machinery of creation is far more than science will ever be able to fully understand. And, you know, there's just a whole side of things that are mystical and wonderful. And I hope we never lose that. You know, I hope that we keep the mystery in life because, it's just, to me, it's just, that to me was just so amazing. It was like telling me, you know, yeah, you're going through some stuff, It ain't going to be fun. You're going to have a really tough few years, and you'll be back, you know, kind of dealing. And I ended the show shortly after that. I mean, we just quit coming on the air. You know, I kept running into some of the troubles with some of the negative aspects of doing the show, and just finally said to heck with it. But I'm making changes now, though. I mean, we're back. We've had some time to kind of incorporate things. I'm really, you know, you never get over the death of a relative, but what you do is you evolve past it and you accept it, and then you can move on. And I think that's important, you know. So, wow, did I just sail down? Anyway, what do you feel, my friend? What do you think?
Well, I agree with you. I know when I lost my grandmother, that was very difficult for me. In fact, I even had to put myself through counseling, and I had lost other people that I knew in my life, but that was probably the hardest thing I've ever had to go through. And I still, there are times when, you know, things will happen to me and my first reaction is to pick up the phone and call her. And it's like I have to remind myself that she's not, you know, she's not here anymore. And it's difficult. You never get over it, ever.
It's funny because so many people report, you know, when they've lost a loved one, they report that they can meet them in dreams, and you can pick up the phone and call them if you just ask, and they will come to you. And it's funny because, you know, I've had plenty of encounters with my father that I remember something that I did in a dream, but then I try to recall it in my waking moments and I can't remember what we said, but I know I was affected by it. So, you know, I know that, you know, we still have contact with them, but it's a lot of work to try to remember that stuff. And, you know, and I'll cover some of that because there's some actually good writing on this that Dionne Fortune did, which I think we should talk about in a future show, because she's just an amazing writer and there's books that I think people would get a lot out of, you know, on that subject. But, oh my God, we've gone through 2 hours of a tumultuous show, my friend. A tumultuous show.
I know.
I really didn't think we were going to make it through, but we did. And I don't know if I'm going to edit the show and collapse the part where we disappeared, but like reincarnation, we did come back.
Yeah. Yes, we did. Better than ever.
Well, I'm, you know, I just really, you know, and I got to stop and say, I mean, I'm really glad you're my co-host and that you've come back for this because, I mean, you know, we went through quite a few rides together on this with this adventure we call Soulstream and everything we're doing. And, and it didn't end today. It was just craziness is normal, you know, but, and I'm sitting here, I've been drinking these drinks and I'm burping up. So I'm sorry. I shouldn't be doing that on the air.
Being your co-host means a lot to me. I'm very happy to be here with you. And I think as we do more shows, it'll just get better and better. Because there are endless topics that we can do.
Well, you know, it's a two-way street because I'm planning a lot of shows, but you've got a voice that if you want to cover something, let me know. And we will definitely do that because... And we're definitely getting you set up with a new piece of gear. You're going to like it. Our mutual benefactor is helping us with this. And I've got some equipment that I think may help too. So we will, and I think we'll invite you up to do a show here so you can get some practice time on the mixer board, because I think you're going to be finding yourself equipped with something similar. But you never know what you're going to get. So anyway.
I would love that.
We're closing in on the last 2 minutes of the show. We're going to be having Spencer Hughes on June 30th, so later this week.
Okay.
Spencer Hughes is agreed to be on the show. I'm still confirming what time he will be here. He's actually getting set to move to a new city and leave where not far from. So he will be on, and he's had a lot of spirit experiences. I actually got him into the paranormal when he was still hosting his show on Fox News. And, you know, it was Fox News Radio. He was Fox Across America, I think it was called. And so he did a lot of really cool stuff. And so we're going to have him on and talk about the hauntings he's encountered And definitely have a good time with him. He's a lot of fun, and he's a great guy. So I'm looking forward to that. And then we're in the last minute here. I mean, we got that crazy English woman. Oh, 60 seconds, yes. It's so good to have you here on Blog Talk Radio, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
He's so rude.
Lobby, we're here on Gilligan's Island, yes. So, but Brenda, thank you so much for being on with me. And, you know, we got through tonight's challenges. I did not give up. I was madly stringing wire and just going, what the hell is wrong? So,
never surrender.
Never give up. Never surrender. Oh, that's not right. Anyway, we're down to the last 20 seconds, so I'm going to wind it down, and I will see you on the other side, and we will see you this coming Saturday at 9 p.m. Pacific. And this is Soulstream signing out. Goodbye, everybody. And we are on the last second. Okay, that's it. We're upstream. And I will see you, my friend. I'll get on Facebook, and we will chat then, okay?
Okay. Okay. I will be there.
All right. Thanks for doing the show with me. All right.
Absolutely.
And there goes our...
Okay.
There goes the cuckoo clock. All right. See you guys later. We're listening after stream at the end of the show. Our cuckoo is cuckoo.
Right.
Cuckoo for cocoa. Okay. Talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.